Let's get right at it. 2 Kings chapter 18. We'll begin 2 Kings chapter 18, reading from verse 4. King Hezekiah removed the high places. He brake the images and cut down the groves. He brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. So we're thankful to God. This is the result of trusting and cleaving and not departing, is verse 7. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. As you already know, there's so much here. There's so much glory in every line. And it's so wonderful that he rebelled specifically, as it says here, and we'll get into it, the king of Assyria. The grace of God that was with Hezekiah never departed from him. And I thank the Lord. The Lord is always for his word. And Hezekiah, as the word of God tells us and shows us and reveals to us, he clave to the Lord. Now, as we go on with Hezekiah's life, we're going to find out he wasn't a perfect man. He wasn't infallible. Matter of fact, pride gets the best of him. I'll let that cat out of the bag just a little bit. But it gets him. But the grace of God is still for him. And thanks be to God that Hezekiah was still tender towards the things of God. And that's so vital in our lives, brothers and sisters. I've said this many times in many ways. God help us to know when we're wrong. God help us to know that. Embrace it. Thank the Lord for it. Don't ever live a life that you don't think you ever have to say you're sorry. Because you do. You do need to say you're sorry. You need to say you're sorry for you. I promise you. I'm so thankful. But be quick to tell someone, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Because if you hold that, you don't realize, I don't believe we really realize how defeating a root of bitterness can be in our lives. I don't want to miss the first trump. But I'll tell you what, read about the root of bitterness. Read about exactly where it is in the Word of God. And that bitterness will stunt you from being full. It'll stunt you from being ready. And it will. Pray always, Lord, give me a humble heart. Give me a tender heart. Help me to be merciful. Help me to be a vessel of mercy. Amen. And this brother was that. I thank God that, you know, when they came to him and he was told later on, we'll get into that story, that he was wrong about what he did. He didn't try to get defensive. He said, you're right. I'm sorry. And I thank the Lord that those brethren also restored him. And see, that's the beautiful thing about the spiritual. They restore. And they want to restore. They don't want to tear down. They don't want to hold it against you. But when you're not spiritual, you'll hold it against that person. Don't be that person. Don't do that. I've been there. We can be victims in our heads, in our minds, but we're not. No. There was one upon a cross who took all of that for us. I pray we know this. Now, even though he fell, the word of God says, we're not utterly cast down. And the reason is his grace sustains us. His grace causes us to adhere to the truth in love that is in this gospel. And the Word of God tells us that He does see the proud afar off. As I was encouraged to write a note, take the grace and take the more grace. Jesse, embrace mercy. Put your name there. And you prosper. Embrace mercy and you'll prosper. I think you'll have a time with it. And I've testified to you. Because I know it's Him. There's times that I knew that I really didn't do wrong. But I still apologized. Kind of almost made me upset. But I knew that was the Lord. And it wasn't that I was trying to be fake. But I love. Because it's the love of Christ in us. And, God help us. We're ready to finish. And we want to finish with a full joy. And the joy is the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy isn't your strength. If you think it's your strength that got you through the finish line because of your great knowledge or your great faithfulness, you didn't finish with the Lord's joy. You finished with a false joy. My joy is the Lord. Our joy is the Lord. Because I am telling you what, not only would I not finish, I won't run. I won't. Now, when you receive mercy, you prosper. And you prosper because you know what? He always makes it right. He just does. That's the God we have. Grace does that. Mercy brings that. You trust the Lord. We're going to find out about King Hezekiah. He had a son that becomes king. His name is Manasseh. He's a mess right away. Did evil in the sight of the Lord. Horrible. And so sad to all of the godly influence that was around that man's life. But God. Because before the end of Manasseh's life, Manasseh became humble. He broke before God. And God and His grace was ready to meet him. It didn't delay. It was immediate. And that's the Lord, and that's with us. And He's always waiting, and He's ready. And it's just that matter of time, that moment of time, where we truly are sincere before Him, just completely naked before our God. God, You know me. You're so good to me. You're so loving. Thank You. Amen. Boldly to the throne of grace, my brethren. Boldly to the throne of grace. Now, let's talk about this word prospered. That's something. But it's more than just being successful. It is. What this word prospered means, it means instruction. It means wisdom. It means insight. And it means comprehension. Think of that. That's what prospering means in this case. That's what prospering means in the Word of God. You think about what the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God means to us. It's everything, isn't it? It is. Through the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, it tells us in Ephesians, because we've been enlightened with that, we understand that we should be joint heirs together with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we are intended to be joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. Fellow heirs with Him. Amen? But see, that comes through knowledge and it comes through understanding. And it comes through the knowledge and the understanding of what? The love of Christ. That's why in Ephesians as well too, it says that we would know the love of Christ. And know it in all of its capacity. Every bit of it. And to be full and filled with all the fullness of God. And what is God? God is love. So once again, and what is the law, that the one word that we live by today? Love. It's the new commandment. It's the commandment that fills it all. It's everything that the Lord is after. And that's why it is perfect love. It's the fullness of love. It's the completion. It's the maturity of love that God has given us. But that's why prospering speaks of that instruction, wisdom, insight, and the comprehension that we would know the Word of God. And let me ask you something. Have you prospered knowing the Word of God? Have you? You know you have. Have you ever done any prospering without knowing the Word of God? Isn't every gain of your life and every stride of your life, whether it's with your family, with your job, with anything in your life, isn't it because it becomes applied in the Word of God? Amen. You see your life in the Word of God. You see everything about it. You see your uprising. You see your successes. And you see your downfalls in the Word of God. You see them perfectly. And then you see Romans 8:28. Just, and we know, 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 and we know. All things work together for good to them that love God. Because we are the called. We are. And we're called according to His purpose. Not your purpose or your gifting, but His purpose. His desire. His good pleasure of His will. That's what we're called to. Praise be to God. We are not our own. Be thankful you're not your own. Thank God. Hallelujah. I think about Israel today. They're sure going to be glad when their eyes are enlightened to really know you are always my people. I chose you because I loved you. And you have been unfaithful, but now you'll be my faithful wife again. You think they'll be glad? Oh, and we'll be there. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. But see, it's wonderful to know that. And see, that strengthens our heart in this day that can be so troubling and such tragedy and horror that's going on. But the knowledge of the Lord gives you comfort, doesn't it? Amen? And it prospers you. You don't want to give up. You don't want to say, oh, this is just too much and we're going to quit. No, we thank the Lord. It's not easy to see. It's not joyous for the moment, but we know. See, when you know, oh, it's powerful. That knowledge is so powerful. And see, what happens is when we know, we prosper, and we prosper because we strengthen in His promises. See, by hearing these things, by coming and the assembling of ourselves, the much the more as we see that day approaching, by giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, we are becoming even more wise to our salvation. Amen? Amen. That's what's happening here. We're prospering. Because we're strengthening in the promises of God. They're exactly what He said, and we see it, and we know it, and we don't just stand on it. We rejoice, and we enjoy it now. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love singing that song. I'm living in Canaan now. I'm not living in Canaan tomorrow. I'm seated in the heavens with Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father right now. Amen. I'm a son of God right now. I enjoy my Father right now. Praise the Lord. I'm not waiting for this. Let's enjoy all the privileges, which are all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We have all of that right now. I'm not waiting for that. Think of that. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ right now. Right now. Well, is one of the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ right now, won't that be and isn't that truly ruling and reigning with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I'd include that in all the blessings in the heavens in Christ. In Christ, before the world began. How long's this been going on? It's been going on longer than anything, because it's always been going on. Because it's beginning. And I know that. And you know that. Praise God. So see, as we prosper, what is happening? We're gaining in confidence of knowing His faithfulness. Now, in understanding that and knowing it and gaining in confidence, what happens with that? We need experience. Amen? So we have experience. And I don't just have my experience. I have your experience. If you don't have my experience, you're missing something. You need that experience. You really do. See, I'm comforted by what you've been comforted by. And by the grace of God, I pray you're comforted by what I've been comforted by. And it's the same comfort because he's the God of all comfort. But I know one thing, nothing's hard for our God. I've seen him do it over and over. But I didn't just see him do it for somebody else, because in the body of Christ, that was done for me. I want you to really think about that. Now, wait a second. So if the Lord miraculously, which he has on my body, and I know you have those miraculous times too. There's been times, and he's still keeping some pain in me. You know that. You got it too. But I've had him at times where something was really bad, and he healed it like that. All right? Praise the Lord. You saw, well, you didn't see it, but I had a horrible, horrible infection in my body, but especially on my leg, many, many years ago. And it was awful, horribly awful. As big as a football, you can ask my wife. And that thing should have killed me. God stopped it. God healed it. And he divinely did it. But was it only my leg was healed? Or was my whole body healed? Huh? Oh, leg, I guess you're you know what? You're sick, but you know, my arm's not sick, my heart's not sick. Well, wait a second, I just died. I guess everything was sick. You get it? How much more are we the eternal body forever? This is the body that's going to go on forever. His body, amen? So I do thank the Lord that that's becoming more true to me. It's already real. Whether I not want to accept it or not, it's real. But the difference is it true to me? Is it my reality? You know, I can just stand around something, but you know what? I'm in it. I really am. But I want to thrive in it. I want to be alive in it. And by the grace of God, I thank him. I see that. I've experienced everything that you've experienced. Truly. May not even know most of it, which I don't. But by the grace of God, that comfort that you've received, I'm comforted by. Amen? It's kind of like I've said before. Lord, you take me to the table, and you have me to pray for things and all of that. Sometimes I never have to actually go into it, but in prayer and spiritually, he's taken me right through it. It's the truth. Well, let's keep going. See, when we gain in his prospering, what we're gaining in as well is the depth of his love for us. We begin to understand that there's more glory to glory and more grace upon grace in every line, and it never can be exhausted. I thank God he keeps us coming back to the Word of God, because there is more, and there's more all the time for us. There's more growth. But see, I want us to really understand this. This prospering in knowledge and understanding is not the head knowledge that makes you proud. It's not knowing something that puffs you up. This is the knowledge and thankfulness of the perfect-hearted kings. What does it do? It makes you thankful. It changes you. It changes you beyond you. It changes you into something you could never be. It changes you into the merciful one, a gracious one. That's what God and his word, that's the transformation that happens in the people of God. Now, I was also thinking about prospering, and I kind of chuckled. I said, oh, Lord, knowing you and understanding the Word of God, it's such a relief. Isn't it a relief? Well, I'll just speak freely of my life. Understanding the Word of God as I look at my life, as I look at the Word, I mean the world, the life, my life and the world, I think, thank God I understand the Word of God. I'm relieved. I look at me and sometimes I get very disappointed. I look at the Word of God and my life in Christ, I'm relieved. I look at this world, I see how horrible it is. I see the things that are going on, but the understanding, the peace of God that passes all understanding comes in. And you know what? I'm relieved. I'm at rest. I'm at peace. I'm thanking God tonight. I do tell him, Lord, knowing the Word of God is such a relief. Praise his name. Now, let's talk specifically a little bit more about Hezekiah tonight. Prospering and knowing that word, what did it tell us he did here? He rebelled against the king of Assyria. Now, I want you to know, understand about this king of Assyria at this time. I can't really pronounce his name. It was like Sennacherib or something like that. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get into that, but you can read the word and go at it yourself. But he was the king of Assyria, all right? And that king was the most mighty king, the most mighty kingdom upon the world at that time. And they were taking over everything. Every knee needed to bow to him. They basically ruled by the sword, all of those different things. And some of the kings of Israel were bowing down. But here came Hezekiah. And you know what? He was strong in the Lord and he was trusting God. And he was trusting God so much that he said, Lord, I know you don't want me to bow down to this man. I know you don't want Judah, your people, to bow down and to serve their gods. But Lord, I know I need you to do this. There's no way, rationally, reasonably, naturally speaking, we could ever defeat that army. That's an army. They have far more power than we do. They have far more men than we do. They'll grind us. They'll do all those different things. He doesn't say that kind of stuff because he's believing God. But he's not going about it willy-nilly. He seeks out the prophet. He seeks out Isaiah. He says, we need to pray about this. I need direction from God. I don't want to just go in my might, my strength, and say, you know, I read some Bible stories, and I just think I'm going to go. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I want the Lord to direct me in this. I know what his will would be. I know that there is no other God to serve but my God. He's very God of very God. But I need the Lord to direct me. And that, again, was the humility and the humbleness in Hezekiah. See, that was the difference between him and a King Saul. King Saul wasn't going to wait on God. He wasn't going to wait for the prophet. He said, we can just go through the motions. I'll offer up the sacrifice, and then we'll go do what we need to do. That's not how it works, brothers and sisters. This isn't a remote control thing. The word of God is to be still and know that he's God. It's to wait upon the word of God, and it is to be patient. And in due time, he'll exalt you, but it's upon his time that he'll do it. And I thank God that you see these things and you see God working this mercy in our lives. And it's so beautiful because the Lord defeats Assyria for Hezekiah. That's how he prospers him. Turn over to chapter 19 of 2 Kings and let's read just verse 35, excuse me. Well, actually, 34 is so beautiful to read because here's the promise again that's over the tribe of Judah, the lineage of David, that God is never going to not live up to his word. His promises are yea and amen. It didn't matter how many evil kings came out of the line of David. It was still going to be the line of David because God promised. Does it ring something sweetly in your heart? I will perform the good work which I begun in you because I promised. It doesn't matter how much bad, evil things have come through your life, how many shortcomings you have. My promise is what matters. My promise. And my promise will get through to the thing that I have sent it to. It will accomplish. Amen. So praise the Lord, he sent it to this line through the seed of David. And there wasn't any other line. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, was going to come forth. Amen? So here it is in verse 34. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Let him love on you like that. Let him love on you like that. Amen. We have a better promise than even David. Understand that. Take that. For my sake. For my sake he's doing all this. And he told us all things are yours and all things are for your sake. You can finish that. You know it. That's what he's promised us. All things are ours and all things are for your sake. He told us this. He's told us the same thing that he's telling this king. I'm with you. I'm for you because my word is for you. I've promised, and I cannot break my promise. That was sweet sister, your sweet mama, Dwayne. But God, you promised. She wasn't fooling around. But God, you promised. Do you go with him to say that? And it isn't to pin him. It's to thank him. I already know you know this, but I got to tell you, but you promised me. Help me to realize the beauty of your promise to me. That's what this is. So he promised him, and here's what happened. Because I'm going to give you the little setup here. The king of Assyria surrounded him. They were warriors. When they had numbers, they didn't just take it for granted. They strategized. But when you're strategizing against God, it don't matter. It's not going to work. But they did, and they surrounded him. They were ready to have him. They were going to spring up, and it was over. But God, and it came to pass, verse 35, that night, because they were all ready in the morning to take it, but it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That wasn't a long battle. Just like that. There's going to be a 200 million man army coming down through there. Not too far from Gaza. It's coming. Hook's going to be set in their jaw. Third of men's going to be dying like this. All of this. That blood's going to flow to the horse's bridle through there. Hundreds of square miles. It's true. God has shown us little tiny precursors all the way through. And I'm going to tell you something. The angel of the Lord, when he fights, it's over. It doesn't matter if it's 185,000 or 200 million. It's over. It's over. The battle is the Lord's. Whether it's in a lion's den, whether it's in a furnace, whether it's they've got me surrounded, it doesn't matter. Not a hair of your head, not a smell of smoke. I was thanking the Lord. Because my left foot will swell often. But you know, for 40 years, not only did their clothes not wear out, all those different things, but their feet didn't swell. I like that. You get me out for 4 hours walking around, my feet's going to swell. 40 years? 40 years? And that wasn't genetics. Now, here, it gets really good. Assyria comes from the word Assur, which means good. If you read what it says here, is it said that Hezekiah rebelled against the king of Assyria. So what he did is he rebelled against the good. He rebelled against the world's good. He rebelled against the good God, good devil, good everybody. I love that. He rebelled against it. And what he was encouraged was, I'm going after God's best. This was the man with the perfect heart towards God that trusted, cleaved, and didn't depart from it. That's why we love this king. And you think about it again, he came from the most ungodly dad, but yet he rebelled and served the one true God. You do not have to be like those around you. You do not. You don't have to blame anybody. How about just crediting God, but God kept me? Now, let's go a little bit further tonight. We'll spend the rest of the night on this. I want to talk about one of the women. And I think a woman that was behind Hezekiah, so much so as the word of God reveals. And this is his mother, Abby. Go back to verse 2 of chapter 18. It says, 25 years old was Hezekiah when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. Now, I want you to understand this real quick here. Her name's Abby, and Abby means Jehovah is my father. Isn't that beautiful? The only family she was crediting was her father, God. God is my father. And I want you to think about that. That was how the Lord, from the very beginning, gave her that name, wrote it upon her. And she's a miracle in the grace of God. Now, it says here she was the daughter of Zechariah. Now, this isn't Zechariah the prophet. This is King Zechariah. This is a king who is king over Israel. Remember, as we've been studying this, the kingdom had split into two. You had 10 tribes going one way, and that was, they had their king, and that was the king of Israel. And then you had two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, that went another way, and that was in Jerusalem, and that was the king or the kings of Judah. Now, out of the line of Judah was where Christ Jesus would come from. But that line, or that kingdom, I should say, was split. And so this woman was of the king of Israel, and his name was King Zechariah, and she was his daughter. And it's interesting, because we're going to talk here about a minute, but she ends up over in the kingdom of Judah with a son that becomes the king of Judah. Only God can do this. All right, now let's go with it here. Here was her father. You talk about all things being against you. Here was her dad. If you think you've had some tough things in life, go to 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Got to move here a little bit, so we're going to go quick. But this is good, isn't it? I love this stuff. This is our life. So 2 Kings 15, 8 and 9. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned for 6 months. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. So not only did he do evil, he got everybody else to do evil. And that's a real evil thing. That's a real thing that God hates. It's called discord. You don't want to do evil, but boy, I'll tell you one thing. You don't want others to join your evil against the things of God. And he paid for it. And so this was her dad. And so again, she too, just as Hezekiah, her son, had a wicked dad. Now here's what happened to Zechariah, that wicked dad. Verse 10. And Shallum, the son of Jabez, conspired against him and smote him before the people. So think of that. Smote him before the people and slew him and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So you get a whole four verses here about this guy. And sadly, not one good thing. Evil and a quick death, and that he was killed and slain right in front of the people. So most likely his daughter, Abby, she saw him get killed right in front of her. That was not done in the shadows. This was done out in public, and he was killed right in front of him. So what happens is she appears suddenly in Judah, because this was her dad. He gets killed. She's never mentioned, but we can place her back at this time. But we go over here to chapter 18 where we're at tonight, and we see, now wait a second. She was the daughter of the king of Israel, who is evil, who only reigned for 6 months. But now we find her over in the kingdom of Judah, and she just gave birth and raised up one of the perfect-hearted kings. Isn't that incredible? Okay, now, we saw that she had such a wicked dad. Amen? And I've already told you, Hezekiah had the most wicked father. Well, who was his mother? Abby. And who was Abby married to? The most wicked king of Judah. And I want you to go with me here for a little bit to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 28, and we're going to read about this wicked husband and this wicked dad and his atrocities, of Hezekiah and the husband of Abi. Now, how maybe Abi got to the kingdom of Judah? Many times what would happen was they would give family members back and forth to marry some of the monarchs, you know, for peace, for good tidings, whatever it would be. So this is possibly how she ended up over there. And this is, again, going forward in chapter 28. We'll just touch on some verses. The man she marries is Ahaz or Ahaz, and he was the king, and he was the king, and he was the dad of Hezekiah as well, too. So in verse 1 of chapter 28, 2 Chronicles, it says, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Now I want you to know, there wasn't one king of Israel that ever did good. They were all wicked, all right? And so this guy's the king of Judah, and he's so wicked, they're not even comparing him to some of the wicked kings of Judah. They have to go all the way over to Israel and say, he did it, all the bad stuff that all the evil kings of Israel did. This was like just, you take all the evil and you just throw it into this guy. This is him. And you think about Abby. She had this dad that was evil, was slain in front of him. And she thinks, you know, maybe she's thinking, oh, at least it's going to be better over in Judah. And then she gets the worst of the worst. You think about somebody that should just say, my goodness, Lord, you're so against me. Let's just end this. I don't want to go on. Woe is me. All the things that she could have said. And God gave her a son that she raised up to be one of the three perfect-hearted kings. It's glorious. It's incredible. It's a miracle. But this is the grace of God that was with her and the grace of God that's with us. Verse 2. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images of Balaam. Now get this. This is how wicked this guy is. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire. His own children, he burnt them in the fire. He sacrificed them. But God spared Hezekiah. There was no burning on that one. Huh? Now, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel, he sacrificed also and burnt incense in high places and on the hills and under every green tree. He was going to be evil anywhere and everywhere he could. He didn't want the people of Judah to have any place that they would ever go to that they could ever even think of God. Think of the world we're in. Think of our country. A lot of things are moving that way. But God, Jump on verse 19. It said, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, the king of Israel. For he made Judah naked, transgressed sore against the Lord. So again, he was causing the people to be evil. He was encouraging them, feeding them with evil things, departing from God. Verse 24, and Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, cut them in pieces, the vessels of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. Once again, at every turn, there wasn't an ability for these people to worship. He shut it down. He cut in pieces the vessels that were used in the tabernacle. This is how evil this man was. Verse 27, and Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. Amen. All right, let's wrap this up. But God was Abby's father. But God was Abby's father. It didn't matter, but God. I don't care what we face, brothers and sisters. But God is our Father. Amen. And you talk about called according to his purpose. Do you think he had a purpose for her? He sure did. Because she was going to bring forth and raise up a man, truly, as David, a man after God's own heart. And we thank the Lord for that. So, she didn't follow those heathen ways, did she? She saw the death of the heathen. She saw the wicked ways of those men and women. So being a woman of means, and this is what's so sweet. Josephus, we've spoken of him many times. Josephus was a historian. Josephus was a writer of historical events. That's man's wisdom, all right? And the neat thing about Josephus is Josephus actually is one of the great records of Jesus, the disciples, Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus saying that he was the Son of God. That's even apart from the Bible that we have an historian. Not that we need that proof, but the world thinks it's kind of interesting. And then they try to shun Josephus. But Josephus had nothing to do with the Word of God. He was just writing things down that he saw because he was a historian. Well, he had also written down from the things that he knew and heard and the historical references of this woman, Abby. And it was so sweet because he wrote of Abby being a Jewish citizen. She was a citizen of Jerusalem. Now, if you were a citizen of Jerusalem, you had means, and especially she had means, meaning she had monies, from being the queen of Judah. And in that, there is the thought that she was able to take aside Hezekiah and actually get him tutored and knowing in the things of the Word of God, of the commandments. It's so beautiful because she probably wouldn't have been able to do that. But she was able to raise him up and to train him up into those things of God. So this is, again, how God provided and God allowed this woman to be such an influence to him. It's just like, brothers and sisters, how important are godly moms? How important are they? How important was Rebecca? Get in there. That's your birthright. You don't understand it now, but you're taking it. It's the promise of God in your life. Or a Hannah. You see what I'm saying? And it's not just that we need to be a natural mom to somebody. I'm talking about mothers of grace. And I thank the Lord. I was looking at a couple of them as I was walking out here today too. Sister McGuire. She was a mother of grace to our life. She was a mother of grace to me. I know that. And you have to take it personally. And I have them out here right now. And I thank God. And I'm jewels in your crown. Praise the Lord. Just like Brother Austin used to always tell me, you're a jewel in my crown. You're a jewel in my crown. Now, we're going to read about Josiah's mama too. You're going to find the same thing with her. It's so sweet. David had a mom too. Matter of fact, her name isn't even listed in the Word of God. But if you allow the Word of God to minister to you and you begin to allow the Holy Ghost to let you read between the lines, you'll see the grace of God all come together. What a mother King David had. Oh, yes. I think we'll just kind of keep it right there for now. But perfect-hearted kings, they're always going to have adversity. We're always going to have adversity. But you know what the Lord has done for us? He's insulated us in grace. He's insulated you. He's insulated me. He's insulated us. We're still here. We're still here. We're still in the throne. Amen? Our worship by the grace of God and our expectation is still in the midst of the throne with him. We're still kept as the kings that search out a matter. Amen? This still burns a fire in our hearts. Amen? I believe that we're immersed and kept in the grace of God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise the Lord.